Good morning, Open Door. How we doing, guys? Good to see everybody, man. Well, if you guys haven't met me yet, my name is John, one of the pastors here at Open Door. And been kind of cool. I've had just kind of reflecting back this week, even getting ready to preach today. Pretty cool little journey here at Open Door. So, as a lot of you know, my wife and I and our family, we started out coming here at our Avon Lake campus when that puppy got launched. And just going there as attenders and just fell in love. Obviously fell in love with Open Door, Pastor Jim's teaching, but the people out there. Some lifelong friends that we still have, other than the guys that were making fun of my RAV4 this week on some text messages. Not cool, Avon Lake dudes. But the rest of them I love. And so obviously then I came on staff at the church here and started working in the RNC down here at the main campus, loving you guys, being here with everybody. So cool getting to know so many people. And maybe you know or maybe you don't know, for the past couple months I've been out at Vermilion, at the Vermilion campus. And man, it's been so cool to get to know them, see the things God is doing in V-Town. Vermilion, we love you guys. And so I'm rocking the trifecta, man. I got all three. So nobody's going to beat that, hopefully. But I'm excited to be here today, excited to be with you guys, and wanted to start out with a story. A story about, oh my, just blanking. Yeah, it's like my worst nightmare. You know what I hate? I hate when I can't remember. Oh, I got you guys. Who did I get? Come on, who was sweating it? Like, homeboy, come on, you're just starting. You really can't forget already. That's our sermon title. And the Oscar goes to Space J. I messed some people up in the first service, man. They're like, I was going to come up there and try to give you some notes or something. So I hate when I can't remember. Just kind of hold on to that. Hold on to it for a minute as you recuperate from me tricking you. So as you know, we're in John 15. We've been in this series called Organic. We're wrapping it up today. I want to invite you guys to open up your Bibles to this part here, John 15. And as you know, hopefully you've heard in all of our campuses, we're in a pretty special time this week, and as we're getting ready to go there, we always like to set the stage, you know, with the context. So important we know where we're at, what's happening, what's going down, wherever we're at reading in the Bible. Context is huge. So again, just a little briefer. Today, guys, is Palm Sunday. You didn't hear about that? Many of you know that is when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, man. Crowds going crazy. They're laying down palm branches for him. He's on a little donkey. They're like, MVP, MVP. They were saying Hosanna, same difference. They're super excited. They think he's the Messiah. You know, just a lot of excitement going down. It's this great day. And then as we rock into Monday and Tuesday, already things are getting a little sketchy. Jesus has gone in on Monday and ticked a lot of people off. Do you remember this scene? He made, didn't find, he made a whip. He sat down, thought about it, made it. Starts driving people out of the temple that were selling stuff. It's like, get out of here, man. It's my Father's house. This is a house of prayer. And some of the leaders are like, what's this dude telling people what to do, man? They get all upset. Jesus teaches. He's confronting the Jewish leaders about some of the things that are going on. Some tension is brewing. You can feel it as you read the story. By Wednesday, Judas is in on this, man. Now he's like, I don't know if I'm hip with this whole thing. And he gets bribed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Thursday, we're getting closer to where we've been, right? Last Supper. Jesus was talking to his disciples, washing their feet. I'm the bread. I'm the wine. And now we're right here, guys. We're right here. Remember, he's left the upper room at the end of chapter 14. He He's walking around. We think maybe he might have been walking through a vineyard. We don't know. But he's walking. He's talking. He's teaching. He's been unpacking this powerful image of the vine and the branches and staying connected. And I hope you've been getting so much out of this. I know God's been working at a lot of people. And today, again, we're wrapping that up. So we're right here, right before the betrayal, right before Gethsemane, right before the crucifixion. So John 15, 18 through 27. Why don't you guys stand up with me? We're just going to honor God's word here. And if your Bible's anything like mine, you probably have a little header there. Anybody got a little header there? It's a fun title. The World Hates the Disciples. So it says this. If the world hates you, I want you guys to keep in mind that it hated me, Jesus, first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't. You don't belong to the world, but I've chosen you. I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember. Powerful word from Jesus always. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they obeyed me, they'll obey you also. They will treat you this way because of my name, because of the name of Jesus and everything it stands for they did not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they wouldn't be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I hadn't done among them the works no one else did, they wouldn't be guilty of sin. As it is, oh, they saw it. They saw what I did. And yet, they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. So when the advocate comes, remember that, the helper? When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he's going to testify. He's going to testify about me. And you, and me, and us, we also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning. You guys can have a seat. So looky, looky, chocolate cookie. Who got stuck with the hate sermon? How did this happen? Get to preach on hate. You guys encouraged, feeling good about this, man? This should be a real pick-me-upper. Haters gonna hate. People drinking the haterade as we follow Jesus. You know, it's funny. We come to these passages in the Bible, and they really are. It's like, dude, you're bringing me down, man. Like, maybe somebody should have a little talk with Jesus. Like, not the best marketing strategy to get people to follow you. You're going to be hated? Hey, guys, come to Church of the Open Door where we lead people in the adventure of becoming like Christ. And you get smacked in the face. This doesn't have a good ring to it, does it? But here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus is like, you ever have one of these friends that they're an awesome friend because they tell you this stuff that nobody else will? They're the friend after the Chipotle that's like, dude, you got some cilantro right here, right up here in the top? Yeah, let me help you get that. Hey, buddy, XYZ, zippers down. Maybe you shouldn't rock the skinny jeans anymore, okay? Just trying to help you out, all right? That type of friend? Not always the things you want to hear, but maybe you need to hear. Jesus has called us friends earlier in this passage, and now he's acting like a friend. This is what good friends do. They don't tell us always what's good. They tell us what we need to know. Guys, his name is what? The truth. He tells the truth. So, the first thing of looking at this passage, I'm seeing something pretty important. Jesus is using some language he always uses. He's telling the disciples that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. A little bit later, it says, remember what I told you. Over and over, even as I was reading, I was telling you guys, whenever Jesus is saying this, remember, listen, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. It's important, okay? Jesus wants us to remember. He wants us to remember what he said and what he did. Why? Why is that a big deal? Well, probably pretty important if we want to become like Christ, to know what he said and what he did. If we read this book, Jesus is letting us know this is what's coming next, man. I don't know if you guys ever have played the game I used to play at Open Door, but I remember sitting out there thinking, like, how in the world does Pastor Jim know what slide is coming next? You guys ever do this? Like, does homeboy just memorize all these, you know? Do you guys know what slide's coming next? Would you believe me if I told you it was two dogs taking a selfie? Because it is. How did I know that? That has nothing to do with my sermon. How did I know that? Let me tell you a little trick. We got a little something down here. It's a monitor. It shows me what slide I have, and it shows me what slide is coming next, so I know, so I don't have to memorize it. You know what it's called? It's called a confidence monitor, literally. It gives us confidence so we don't have to have it all memorized. I can see what's coming next. I can tell the time. It's a beautiful thing. Let me tell you something. This is our confidence monitor. This is our confidence monitor. As disciples of Jesus, man, it's kind of heartbreaking how many things we're surprised about that happened to us. Because he tells us what's going to go down. We may not like it, but when it happens, we don't have to be surprised. It's a beautiful thing about getting into God's word. It's a beautiful thing about listening to what Jesus says. Because remembering Jesus gives us confidence. Gives us confidence. We don't have to act so shocked when these things are going down. Let's look at what one of his disciples, Peter, later was writing about this. You see, again, his own disciples talking about this. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. It's almost like Peter's kind of laughing, like, dude, what are you freaking out about? As though something strange were happening to you. Rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Jesus is saying things in this passage like, you know, hey, listen, a servant isn't greater than the master, right? Kind of like, listen, you're not going to beat my high score. I did it as good as it can get. Like, okay, you're not, like, sometimes we think that, right? Like, maybe I cannot follow these things and still get by. No, we get to participate in the sufferings of Christ. That's part of being a disciple. Doesn't it seem to you that, like, all good things have an element of this? Suffering, you know, it's what makes them so good when it happens. Ladies, when you're going through the whole pregnancy thing, you have to actually go through the act of being pregnant, which, thank you, Jesus, I've never done, but I've seen, and it seems like there's a lot of suffering, nausea, and just all kind of craziness, man, baby moving around, the actual labor, delivery, C-section, the pain, the healing, you suffer through it, but man, the glory that when you have that little baby, right? It's like someone that's in maybe higher education and you are just grinding it out, trying to get that master's degree, trying to get that doctorate. You got papers galore. You got presentations. You got work groups you got to be in, man. It just feels like it's just like coming at you, man. You're just suffering through it. But baby, when you're walking across that stage to get that diploma, like, yes, yes, I got it. For me, last summer, believe it or not, Chunky Love did a half marathon, okay, guys? And, like, I suffered. Trust me, I suffered. I suffered during training. I suffered during the race. I was all chafed up down here. I lost both my big toenails. A woman that was walking past me on the race course, I suffered. But, baby, I crossed that finish line. I got my T-shirt. I can't wear the T-shirt because I'm too fat now, but I got it. I got it. I suffered. I had the glory of going through that. But that's what makes those things feel so good, doesn't it? It's the same walking with Jesus. We don't like going through it. None of those things I described were fun while you're going through it. But afterward, oh my goodness, to be able to participate in doing what he did. He's inviting us into this. And what's really crazy and really beautiful, as we think about it, something else he's talking about here, is that he went first. Jesus went first. What's the name of Jesus? One of the beautiful names he has, it's Emmanuel, right? God with us. That's more than just being with us in a location. He is with us, absolutely with us. He is with us in our pain. He is with us in our rejection. You cannot read God's word without feeling the heartache and the turmoil and the pain and the rejection that follows Jesus all over. I want you to just think about some of the names, some of the hateful names that have come over you in your life. Maybe they're still around you right now. You think, nobody knows. Nobody would know how I feel. And I want you to think about some of the stuff they call Jesus. Looney Tunes. Cuckoo, cuckoo. The guy's crazy. His own family said, he's like nuts. We got to get him up out of here. Crazy. Demonic. They were saying, you're demon-possessed, man, to Jesus. Saying it to his face. Glutton. Might as well call him a fat pig. Alcoholic. Drunkard. Criminal. Blasphemer, arrogant. Guys, Jesus went first on the hate train, man. They were hating him long before they hated us. Even Isaiah, the prophet, talked about this. Before Jesus was ever born, this is what was going to go down. He said he was despised. He was rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. This next line should break our hearts. Like one from whom people hide their faces. You ever been around someone that's just even hard to look at? That's the description of Jesus. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Jesus wants us to remember he was hated, and he was hated first. He went before us. So a little bit later in this chapter, he begins unpacking why we're hated. Why are we hated? Well, we're hated because Jesus chose us. Jesus chose us. It says we don't belong to the world. We've been chosen by Jesus. So in a little bit, the Cleveland Browns are going to make a choice. I hear the chuckles already. We are going to choose between a selection of quarterbacks. Jesus, please let us choose a quarterback. Let us not mess this up this time. We're going to choose between some quarterbacks, all right? And they're going to leave wherever they were, and they're going to come into our team, our organization, and hopefully change it. But we're going to choose them. And guys, listen, when Jesus chose us, it's the same thing. We've been chosen out of the world and into Christ. Amen. We've been chosen out of the world and into Christ. We don't belong to the world anymore, man. We're playing for a new team, for a new Savior, a new Lord, a new Master, all right? We're in Christ now. And this is so important for us to know that just like when we draft that quarterback, we're not going to draft him and just slap a jersey on him and maybe an orange helmet and sit him down. He's got a job to do, right? He has a job when we choose him. Newsflash, Jesus didn't just decide to just get you out of hell and get you into heaven. When you got saved, now he's got a job for you, and it's an awesome job. I want you guys to take a look at 2 Corinthians 5. Let's turn there real quick. It's one of my favorite passages of the Bible. Love just how God unpacks the things we get to do. I could read it all, but I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna read a little chunk here for you. So starting there, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. What a beautiful line. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Bible uses that phrase so much, not counting people's sins against them. Did you catch that? That's a pretty cool thing to tell people. Not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, his followers, the believers, this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, because God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the job we get to do. Guys, listen. In Christ, we're new creations. When we came out of that old system, we're in, again, the new team is like, we got a new thing to do. It's a brand new creation to be ministers of reconciliation, to let people know now, God's not mad at you. He's made a way because your sins are gone, dude. Your sins are gone, dudette. They're gone. He's not counting them against you anymore. And God, for some reason, didn't just want to use the Bible or angels. He wants to use us to make this appeal. God says, you're my ambassadors. How awesome is that, that we've been chosen to do that? But that's why we're hated. Why else? It says in that same passage, they will hate you because of my name. Because of my name. Jesus gave us his name. I remember earlier he's talking about anything you ask in my name, I will give it to you. Powerful, powerful statement. He's given us his name over our life, given us his name to use. So what's in a name? Names are important, right? Because depending on what we think or know about a person is what we think of their name. I don't know about you, but like when we were having kids, you know, as you're thinking through names for your kids, certain names come up. And they're off the board just because, you know, if someone likes Chuck, nothing against you, Chuck, if you're out there, and Chuck whipped some bologna at you in third grade and you were traumatized, you're probably not going to name your kid Chuck, right? Because you associate these bad memories with Chuck. Names are important. We can think of names like Enron, the company, and think, not good. So Jesus, what's in that name? Why will we be hated because of that? And to me, it's important, guys, because of this. There's a lot of people, maybe you know some, that think they're hated for the name of Jesus. Let's not kid. No. They think they're hated for the name of Jesus because they refuse to go to the office party because they drop alcohol in there and I don't want to be part of it, you know? They refused, you know, they think they're rejected for the name of Jesus because they kicked Tom out of the bowling league because he had an affair and we don't want Tom around anymore because we're too mad at him and we hate him. And they just hate me. Because I follow Jesus. That's not what Jesus was all about. That's not what his name was all about. Kind of interesting to think. In fact, who didn't hate Jesus when he was around? I'm pretty sure one of the titles of his name was Friend of Sinners. Friend of Sinners. Who did hate Jesus? The churchy people. The religious people. The people that thought they had it all together. We don't want you bringing these degenerates around. We don't want you bringing that hooker around. We don't want you bringing that filthy tax collector around. Those are the people that hated Jesus. Jesus was a friend of sinners because his name meant something. There's this beautiful scene in Luke 4. Jesus goes back to his hometown. Shows back up, beginning of his ministry. You know, things have started to happen. It's a little buzz about Jesus. Comes into the synagogue. Remember this story, and they hand him a scroll to have him read, and Jesus says he found Isaiah, and he opens it up, stands up, says he read this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. We're supposed to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Says Jesus, rolled the scroll up, handed it back, sat down, said, that thing just got fulfilled in your presence. That's what I'm here to do, man. Good news. Freedom. I'm going to heal some blind people. Let them see what they're supposed to see about me, my Father, the world, how it is, because the kingdom's coming. I'm setting people free. It's the year of the Lord's favor. It's the year of Jubilee. Debts, everything gone. That's what Jesus was about. His name literally means God saves. That's the name of Jesus. Doesn't mean God's going to judge you. That's what Jesus came to do. And it's hard to believe that these people, when he did that, moments later, are trying to throw Jesus off a cliff. Did you read this story? All throughout God's word, man, people are trying to not just shut him up. They hated him so bad, they're trying to kill him way before the crucifixion. Read it. So they tried to throw him off a cliff. Jesus went straight through him. Kind of amazing. So listen, we hear this stuff, guys, and we're thinking like, wow, man, again, who would want to do this? I mean, to be hated for a message like this? I don't know, man. That's hard words, isn't it? But here's what we have to understand, man. Becoming like Jesus isn't pick and choose. Again, he's the friend that tells you what you need to know, what you need to hear, because it's the truth. And the truth of following him, guys, isn't like walking through the grocery store and being like, oh, check it out. Got a little bit of grace over here. Let's get some of that for the cart. Mercy, could use some of that. Okay, cool. Love, get the microwave edition. We could use that quick. Yeah, put that in there. Ooh, hate, persecution. This aisle's kind of loaded. Doesn't look real popular. Let's just go on by. It's not pick and choose. It's not pick and choose. Becoming like Jesus is yes or no. It's yes or no. Again, we usually get the Savior part right. We fail to get the Lord part right. He's the Lord of our life. Again, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that knows way better than we do what we need, what's coming, how to stay in the right. So you got to imagine Jesus is standing there with his disciples and he's talking all this, you know, and there's a very real choice. And again, we're right there, guys, right before the garden. He stopped really talking about the vine now. Now he's talking about hate. Now things are getting really intense. How close were they to Gethsemane? How close were they? It's about to go down and he's trying to let them know. I want to let you know, man, it's about to get bad. It's about to go down like you guys have seen. You're going to be hated. You're going to be hated. This is going to happen. Are you going to be with me? There's this super real choice for them. And guys, there's this super real choice for us. And we dumb it down all the time. We dumb it down and we try to do what? Let's make it as safe and as cozy and convenient as possible. Cup of coffee, a comfy chair, a little cover for your Bible. Are you okay? I just want to keep you guys safe. Let me tell you something. Following Jesus, becoming like Jesus, is anything but safe. Let's look at this quote I love from Erwin McManus. You guys have ever heard that phrase about the safest place to be is in the center of the will of God? Says this, if the safest place to be is in the center of the will of God, then an appropriate measure of God's will is the test, is it safe? This view runs counter to what we find in the scriptures. I want to reiterate the fact that the center of God's will is not a safe place, but the most dangerous place in the world. Gethsemane, the cross. Jesus is going to take the burden of the sins of the whole world on himself. He's going to be tortured, spit on, everything. And he still wants these guys to follow him. He's trying to let them know what's coming. In fact, before they even know, they can't possibly, we got to remember, we know the ending, they don't. They can't possibly have any idea. But he's telling them, listen, in verse 26, the Holy Spirit's coming. Holy Spirit's coming. I'm going to send him back, the Spirit of truth. He's going to testify about me. But listen, guys, I need you, also to testify about me. You must testify. You can almost see them. They're like nodding their head like, okay, man, yeah, we got it. What do we do when we testify? What is that? We testify to what? What we remember, what we've been taught, what we've been shown. We testify to what Jesus said and did. Hasn't gone down yet. So he's telling them, I need you to do this. I need you to testify no matter what. But what happened? What happened in the garden when the shepherd got struck? The sheep scattered. There was no testifying. In fact, what did Peter do there? Peter decided to pull out a sword and try to take some guy's head off. He missed and got his ear. But is that a testimony to what Jesus had been saying and doing? Gathering people around. You know what? I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless those that persecute you. When you get hit on this cheek, turn the other cheek. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for a friend's. And here Peter is, one of his main dudes, pulling out a sword and whack. What happened? This gives us some insight to why Jesus wants us to understand about hate. Because we think a lot of times, guys, we're prepared as we sit here, right? We're prepared. I hope I would do well if these things come, that I could testify to the greatness of Jesus. But the issue with hate is it's a throat punch. It's a kick to the knee. It's where you get hit so hard that your eyes water and you're blinded with pain. And in that moment, you can think about nothing else except how bad you hurt and how bad you want to hurt somebody back or run away, right? Isn't that what hate does to most of us? All of a sudden, we lose our mind and we can't think about anything but the pain and how much we hate it and how much we want to hate back. And here's the issue. We hate when we can't remember. When we can't remember what it is that Jesus has done for us. What it is that he said to us about our lives and the calling on our lives. When we can't remember those things, we hate. I have in my life. Guys, it's so important that we understand this is why we get into this word. This is why we become true disciples. We have to remember. We have to remember what it is that God has called us to. There's so much hate going on in the world right now. Everybody's jumping into it on Facebook. Everybody has a new, you know, solution for what we should do for active shooters in schools. Everybody has a different philosophy on the anthem protests and all these different things, the transgender equality things, all this hate going on in our society. And a lot of these things sound like great rhetoric until we read God's word and remember what we're supposed to do. Remember who we are. Remember what Jesus called us to. And what do we do, guys? How do we remember? We remember when we remain. We remember when we remain in this book, when we're connected to God in word and prayer. God, you show me who you are. You show me who I am. You show me what you've said. No matter what, that's what I want. And then I know what's coming. I don't have to like what's coming, but I know what's coming, and I know how my Father wants me to respond. These are commands, not feelings that produce in and of themselves, guys, not always. We pray for God to give us the strength to do the things he's calling us to do. We remain in the vine. We remain connected to him. And then we have that heart of worship to be able to worship and know, God, you're giving me the strength to do things I didn't think I could do. To relate in other-centered love. You see where I'm going with this? So we can go out and tell people the good news. Because I'm not responding in hate. I've got good news. Go ahead, punch me. Go ahead, laugh at me. Go ahead and cut me down. I've got good news and I want to share it with you. Because life ain't about me. It's about my Savior. Because I'm a spirit-led servant. I'm not led by my emotions. I'm not led by my past. I'm not led by my wife. I'm not led by my kids. I'm not led by my boss or my bank account. I'm led by the Spirit and what He says to tell me to do, and I follow it, and I'm a trustworthy steward. God, I give you my time to read this word. God, I give you the things you've given to me back. They're yours. I don't have to get mad when my money's gone. It's all yours anyway, Father. I'm a trustworthy steward. We remember, guys, when we remain in these things. So, wrapping up, what do we need to do? And here's where God was leading me. Again, we read this word, and it tells us what's happening. Jesus was talking in Matthew 24 about the age that was coming and the wickedness that was coming and the hate that was coming. And he said, you know, the hate and the wickedness is going to grow so much and so intense that the love of most will what? Grow cold. Don't you see this happening nowadays? And guys, it's one thing to see it out there in the world. It's a whole nother thing to see it right here in our church with people that claim to follow Jesus. We can't have it. And I get it. Some of you have been throat punched and kicked in the knees, and you never thought it was going to hurt as bad as it did and be as hard to deal with as it has. But you're right there today. Someone has said some horrible things to you, about you, to your family, to your kids. You're stuck in this shame of hate that's come at you. And it's time to let Jesus deal with it. Or maybe you're one of those people that's stuck hating someone else right now. I know we're talking about the world, but we struggle with this too, guys. You're stuck in this place of hate. There's a relative that would not be welcome at your Easter table. There's a friend that is not going to get that phone call. There's someone at your workplace, your community, not welcome anymore. Hate has a place in your heart, and it can't have it as we follow Jesus. So it's time to take it back in Jesus' name. It's time to take it back, guys, because that's the name that breaks the chain of hate. Because why? Because we remember what He did. How can I hate when I'm looking at what my Savior did for me? I'm like that servant He talked about. Remember that guy? And he went in, he was called in to pay his debts. It's like $1 million he owed. And he says, "Judge, come on. Have mercy on me. Just give me time and I'll pay you back." And it says the judge was like, "You know what? Listen, I'm going to do one better." It's wiped out. It's wiped out. I got you. And it says the servant left, and on his way out, he found a man who owed him like $20. Went off on him. "You owe me, man. I don't have it. Just give me time. I'll pay you back." No, has him thrown in jail. That's what we're like when we don't remember what it is that has been paid for us, guys. The sins we've committed. The grace that's been poured on our life through the blood of Jesus. So today, we got to break these chains, man. We need love to pour out of this room. If your love has grown cold and it's just a little ember there, if it's just a little pile of nothing, we're going to ask God, in Jesus' name, to breathe on that today and break this chain of hate today. Guys, the world needs Jesus. That's what they need. They don't need legislation. They don't need a bunch more books. They need Jesus. People need to know their sins aren't counted against them. You've got a Savior. His name is Jesus. That's what you need. And we can't do it when we're holding on to hate. Let's break that chain today. Are you ready? So let's pray it up. I want you to pray with me, man. If that's you, because there's nothing magic about my prayer. Right now, this thing that's been holding you for a day, a week, years, Jesus wants to take it. He wants to take it, man. So Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we're not having it anymore. We are your people, God. You have chosen us. You've chosen us to be ambassadors for the kingdom, to show the world who you are, this God of love and forgiveness. I haven't counted your sins against you anymore, man. You're forgiven. Father, in Jesus' name, let us embrace that message and go out and love people like Jesus did. But right now, for anyone in this room, God, I pray for your sweet, beautiful power conviction to fall on them, God, for any shred of hate in their life. Father, there are people in this room right now that the hate that's coming against them is hate for themselves. God, they hate that they can't get over that addiction. God, they hate that they can't get over that habit. They're so ashamed and they're mired in it. In the world, the enemy has this chain on them right now that you're trying to break. God, let them see your smiling face. Let them know, I don't see it. I don't see it. You're chained to something that I don't see. I love you. Break that chain in the name of Jesus. Let it go. And God, there's couples here today. Hasn't been a good month. Hasn't been a good year. And they're getting honest right now. And they know it's not bad. There's hate in our relationship. And it's a cancer, it's a poison, it's spreading to our family, and it's running rampant. And no more right now, God. We ask for your forgiveness on this marriage, on this union. God, I ask in Jesus' name that men would have the courage to step up and just say, I'm sorry, I need to lead better. I'm not going to let hate take me out. Father, in Jesus' name, breathe on that fire right now with those people. Let it be done. We pray for reconciliation for marriages at Open Door right now in Northeast Ohio right now. No more hate. Break that chain, God. Break that chain. Parents and children, strained relationships, hate trying to have a foothold. In Jesus' name, break it, God. Break it, God. Humble us, God. Reconcile us, God, back to you. And Father, let your love roar like a tsunami through this place today, God. All through Avon Lake, all through Vermilion, as we let these chains down. Because you can do it right now, God. It's not a process. It's already done in your sight. Let it wash over us in the name of Jesus. His blood covers all of that, God. We're forgiven. We're cleansed. We have your name. It's God Saves. Help us to take this out to the world. Break these chains, God, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us a place and an opportunity to show the world who you are. Let us never minimize the call. God, let us embrace this dangerous place that you've called us to, because everything is worth it for you, Jesus. Everything. Let us be people that are willing to take a punch. Let us be people that are willing to take a kick. Let us be people that are willing to take a bullet for the name of Jesus Christ, because you did for us. You did for us. So Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. We glorify you. You're the chain breaker. You're the hate smasher. You're the love bringer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.